Oh man, how did I get this far and not tell you about Tour Camp? Tour Camp still goes on. I'm not talking about the modern, refined, everything figured out Tour Camp. I'm talking about the time that I made the decision to go to the very first spectacular Tour Camp. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Peter Healy, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Okay, a few disclaimers. It's been a while. There were a lot of details. It was vaguely traumatic, so I'm really going to have to do my best to remember exactly what happened, and if I got something wrong, my deepest apologies. One of the things that I enjoyed about TourCon, held in San Diego, was how it was a family operation. Beautiful little security conference in one corner of the San Diego Convention Center, the very same large building that Comic-Con is held at. It was quaint, something I don't really think of when I think of security conferences. I enjoyed attending. And a part of me had always kind of regretted that I never got to go to a Burning Man or CCC camp. These hybrid indoor-outdoor events that take place during the summer where people bring camping equipment and stay overnight out in fields. Smart people hanging out by a fire, enjoying each other's company outside of the refined boundaries of a schedule and a structure. It always sounded appealing to me, very much something I'd want to be a part of if I just had enough warning and could prepare myself. By the time I was thinking about all this, both Chaos Communications Camp and Burning Man were way too expensive, way too difficult, way too problematic for me to get involved in. They had evolved to the point that I was way left behind. So a part of me was always kind of on the lookout for some sort of camping computer experience. When TourCon announced they were going to do the first tour camp in Washington State, I was in. This was my chance to finally be a part of this thing that I had wanted to be part of for well over a decade. The way that large endeavors like this work, there is usually a mailing list where we get frequent or infrequent updates as to the status of the project, that we've passed certain boundaries, that money needs to be sent in as some sort of deposit, and then details about aspects of where we're going and what's going to be involved. They can be incredibly, incredibly enticing because you learn that this has been purchased or that this license has been signed. In other words, the excitement only builds. When money was being solicited, I immediately sent it in. I was in a position to be able to afford the tickets easily. At that time, I still held out a little bit of hope that I might actually camp at Tour Camp. I wasn't really a full outdoors kind of person, but I thought maybe, with the right purchases and the right efforts, I could be roughing it. On paper, the first tour camp sounds amazing. It was being held in an abandoned missile silo, an actual Cold War era structure that would go down into the ground. We would be camping on the surface, but mostly be going down through secret hatches into large metal rooms to get lessons. It was indicated that we would have music and nighttime events, and the entire area around the silo was ours to do things in. As we drew closer to this Woodstock of hacker camping, some of the details started to come out, and I realized I had made some minor miscalculations. If you're from Washington State, you know this. but I wasn't from Washington State. The way that Washington State is laid out is that a portion of it is very rainy, very green, and has a lushness to it. That's the kind of place I think of because I travel to Seattle and Olympia and Whidbey Island and all the towns in between. That's the Washington I know. But then there's a mountain range, and beyond that mountain range, to the east, it's desert. It's straight up desert. It is hot. It is sandy. It is brutal. And you get to guess where tour camp was actually being held. It totally makes sense that the government would build a missile silo in the desert part of the state and not the middle of a lush green forest. So cross out the part where I was going to stay there. It was clear I needed to get a hotel nearby, and the nearest hotel was 25 miles away. Next came the reports where people went out to visit the site and talked about the silica. Not the sand, but the silica dust that blew everywhere. The fact that it was the kind of environment more like the moon than any sort of forest. So not even a desert, but a desert with finely ground dust. This was where tour camp was going to be held. Still, for me, the dream was still alive. I was going to go to a camp. So we planned out our trip, got the hotel room, and waited for the moment when we'd fly to Seattle and drive out to tour camp. Now from here, it gets interesting. And I want to be clear. Everybody working at tour camp was doing their best. The staff, the organizers, everybody involved was really, honestly trying to provide a hacker camping experience, one that would have the uniqueness of a missile silo and would have this sense of being on our own and surviving by our wits and bringing together all sorts of minds on that endless, destructured schedule that I was interested in. They wanted this. There was no fraud. There was no subterfuge. There were no attempts to hide where we were going or what we were going to do. There was only the fact, which I didn't understand going in, that disaster was almost guaranteed. Tour camp was a 4-day event. We arrived on Thursday and very quickly got to see exactly how much of a desert it was. Driving through the kind of 2-lane highways that go forever between fields, only to drive up a hill to a gate where somebody was waiting for us, verifying that we had tickets and letting us in, was itself an indication of how desolate and how distant we were. Those 25 miles, which we had thought could be done in under 30 minutes, would always take an hour because the roads were so small and any other soul driving on them guaranteed an immediate slowdown. At the camp, it was hot, very hot. The silica, very bright, made sure to give us maximum heat. It was difficult to breathe. It was difficult to see. And nothing major was happening on the first day. Now, I'm just somebody who's nosy and talks to a lot of people, interviews them, gets a lot of information out. So, according to the information I had gleaned, there had been a problem. There was an owner of the site, the actual missile silo site, and they had 2 tenants on it, and the 2 tenants didn't quite get along. And one of the tenants were the ones who had leased their use of the site to tour camp, and the other had not 100% bought in. Hackers, being hackers, had gone into the silo site to look around, to explore, to do urban spelunking, and somehow word of this had gotten back to the other tenant, who, frankly, accurately, indicated that people going around in the missile silo unattended was a recipe for death and destruction, and told the main owner of the site about it. The owner's response was to immediately ban any of the use of the missile silo. Now we had a problem. Dozens upon dozens of people were arriving, and the idea had been that during the daytime, when it was incredibly hot, people were going to be inside of the silo. But now that was gone. Now we had to do everything on the surface. It was, in a word, unpleasant. Cars were parked up and down the hill, tents had been set up, and there we saw an immediate division. There's two kinds of people when it comes to traveling rough. Folks who are incredibly comfortable with it, well prepared, and know all the ups and downs, and people like me. People like me don't think to bring a lot of water, don't think to have a whole range of shady enclosed tents and machines that can move wind around so that we don't just sweat into a puddle. The split between the survivalists and the tourists became very clear, and it was kind of interesting who fell on either side. There were a number of people who were burners, alumni of Burning Man. They had shipping containers dropped off at the site and were building a fort in one corner with lights and poles and everything you could imagine for a sort of industrial art project. And then there were those of us who were just sitting in our cars with the air conditioning on, trying not to throw up, with no showers and not very many easy ways to clean up. People started getting coated in dust. But the conference went on. People assembled for speeches, there were presentations given in a large shed, and it became, in its own way, a surreal surviving experience. I have multiple memories of that time, but one of the special ones was Emmanuel Goldstein of 2600 and the Hope Conference was also attending. And while I'd known him since 1985, we hadn't spent a long amount of time together. He was always surrounded by folks, always doing projects, and so I had to measure the time and the conversations I had with him in measures of 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But at tour camp, we got to walk around for hours throughout the area, just hanging out and talking. That gift alone made it worthwhile. And when we got back to our hotel room after the first day, deciding whether or not to even go back, the process of removing all of the silica out of our clothes before we went to bed showed us how caked everybody was with this environment. We decided to go back the next day. Luckily, some negotiations had gone on, and access to the missile silo was able to happen. As you might imagine, a Cold War-designed structure, which may have never actually seen use, was very, very run down, rusted, bizarre, dark. But it was what we were promised. There were actual rooms in there. People were able to give lectures and presentations, while others sat down in a comfortable underground setting. At one point, we were offered tours in the silo. I'll always remember this because the guy running the tours was the most lackadaisical tour guide I've ever encountered. He was completely speaking informally, and when we walked through darker and darker areas holding on to flashlights, he eventually took us to one of the actual silos. Now, try to imagine this in your mind. What he would do is have people come see down the silo. And the way that worked was that you had to lean over the end of a walkway. He would loop his arm through a bar in the wall, grab the back of your shirt, and then let you lean forward into the abyss so that you could aim your flashlight down and verify that, yes, this hole was missile-sized. This is certainly in my top 10 situations where, looking back, I have no idea why I said yes. With the underground access assured, we only had the problems with the law. You see, we were having very, very loud concerts and DJs at night, and the surrounding area to the silo was very flat and very empty. But that didn't mean that the sounds we were making weren't traveling miles in every direction, and apparently it was bad enough that people in their homes were unable to block out the amount of noise being made overnight by this party. This brought the police. We had decided to go back to our hotel at the end of Friday to clean up and regroup and then go back. And on our way back, we found there was an enormous line to get into the property. The reason for this was that the police had surrounded the event. There was no warrant out, and there was no permission being given for the police to enter, so they had simply parked all around and left their lights on. As we got closer, there were people sitting at the entrance and asking us if we were comfortable going in, and then telling us that because of the police presence, if we left later in the night, we wouldn't be able to return. We considered this acceptable, and we went in. Through all of this, we had a good time. We absolutely did. I had a lot of wonderful conversations, attended some beautiful talks, got a chance to meet people I would normally never get a chance to hang out with, and I got to watch everybody in a weird environment. To that level, it was a success. But I also knew this was it for me. This was the last time I was going to go to anything like this. We decided to leave late on Friday. As music was blaring, lights were going, police were around, and coughing out the silica, we drove into the night. I've been told that in years hence, you can really enjoy a tour camp, that they've had a number of them, and they've moved to better places, more suited for human inhabitants, and that they're great to go to. And I appreciate every time I'm invited. But for whatever reason that I can come up with, I'm unable to attend. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Corey Thomas, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Matt Reynolds, Ernie Hershey, and Michael Rubin, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt.